Okay, good morning. This is the last Friday before the Chag of Hanukkah, Bo'aleinu L'Teiva. It's always important before every Yom Tov. Yom Niroi, Pesach, Shavua, Sukkos. It's always important to prepare ourselves for the Chag. To understand what are the yesodos of the Yom Tov. What is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Chazal HaKadoshim want us to be mistreimim through on Yom Tov? If we don't prepare for Yom Tov and we just fall in, then at the end of the Yom Tov we just fall out. And in 2 weeks' time we could look back at Hanukkah and say, how was Hanukkah? Yeah, we had a lot of donuts, a lot of chocolate coins. Okay, and what did you come out with? We put on weight. We have a headache, but not much ruchnius. So clearly, we want to be able to look back at Hanukkah and say, no, it was a zman of aliyah in ruchnius. We felt a special closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every Yom Tov has its element of closeness. So we're going to discuss the Ezus Hashem Yisborach, a Yisoid Godoil, one of the Yisoidos of the Chag of Hanukkah, and we're going to see in Hashem how practical this is in our day-to-day avodas Hashem. Unfortunately, whenever a war breaks out like the one that we are tragically still in the midst of, so one of the first things that happens in the press, the media, is there's big speculation. Who caused it? Whose fault? Why did it happen? Was it brought about because of political reasons, or diplomatic reasons, or military reasons? He caused it, they caused it, this government, this prime minister. And we can be rest assured that probably the same happened at the time of the Yevonim. The Yevonim waged war against Klal Yisrael, so probably in the local Greek times, the headlines read, Yavon declares war on Klal Yisrael, and there were lengthy articles of why this came about and what diplomatic gains and political reasons, etc., etc. But we as Maminim B'nai Maminim, we know that wars do not break out for political reasons. Wars do not break out for political gain. That may be the superficial cloak of Teva that makes it look that way. But we know the emes. The emes is HaKoyl B'Shvil Yisrael. Everything happens because of, everything happens for Klal Yisrael. And wars break out because of Ruchni reasons, not Gashmi reasons. So instead of looking at the newspapers and the media, we look, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdolos, at the words of Chazal HaKadoshim, at the words of Divrei Rabbeinu Harishonim V'Acharonim, and they will teach us what the true Torah Hashkafa is. Why indeed did this war break out? What is the lesson that we can learn from it? So we're going to discuss, Emitz Hashem, the words of the great Bach. Who was the Bach? The Bach was one of the Gedolei Acharonim. He wrote his sefer 300 or 400 years ago. His sefer is really called the Bais Chodosh, abbreviated the Bach Beis Ches. And we're going to look at one or two lines, very brief words, but we need to really learn them well. Because the Bach, in his introduction to Hilchos Hanukkah, writes the following. He says, how did this Gezeira all come about? Why was it? How was it that Yavon now declared a physical, a spiritual war against Klal Yisrael? And he uses two words. Shehisrashlu ba'avoido. A strange sounding word. Shehisrashlu. How do you spell that? Shin. Hey, Sof. Resh. Shin. Lamed. Vav. Shehisrashlu ba'avoido. The translation of Shehisrashlu means they weakened in their avoido. Which is unclear. What does that mean? They weakened in their avodah. Were they being Oved Hashem or were they not being Oved Hashem? If they were not keeping Shabbos, then clearly you wouldn't say that they weakened in their Avodah. You would just say they were not performing Avodah. It doesn't say that. They were weakened, slacking in their Avodah. We need to explain what this means. We also need to explain, we know nothing is a coincidence. If they were weakening in their Avodah, and for that reason they needed to be punished, so why indeed was it the Yevonim who come to attack? Why that for the Yevonim? Second question. So these are the two questions that Be'ezus Hashem would like to address. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael hisrashlu ba'avodah, they weakened? What does that mean to weaken in one's avodah? And secondly, why the Yevonim? We know everything is midah keneged midah. There must be an important and obvious explanation why dafka the Yevonim, they're the ones who come to attack Klal Yisrael. Now we have a clue, a very big clue, because the Bach carries on and he says, when they were chayzer b'tshuva, now he uses two further very important words, ukeshe chazru b'tshuva limsair nachshom, they were moisa nefesh al ha'avoida, those are his words, ukeshe chazru b'tshuva limsair nachshom al ha'avoida, then na'asa lohem nes, a miracle was performed for them. That's the end of the Bach. Now, this is a very big clue in helping us understand what his Hisrashlu Ba'avodah is. As we know, when a person's over an Aveira, when he's Chozer B'tshuva, the way to be Mesakin the Aveira is clearly by fixing it up and doing the opposite. So clearly, to be Moisa Nefesh is the antidote, is the opposite of his Hisrashlu Ba'avodah. We want to understand, what does it mean, Hisrashlu Ba'avodah? The clue is in understanding, what does it mean, Limsir Nafshon? What is this midah to be Moisir Nefesh? If we understand what Mesiras Nefesh is, so clearly that was the tikkun of Hisrashlu Ba'avodah. It clearly must be two halves of one coin. So in order to understand this, we go back to basics in understanding what is Yavon, the Greek culture, all about. Now the founding father of the Greek religion, the Greek theology, is Aristotle. Aristotle was a tremendous chochem. His chochma was so great that the Rambam writes that his chochma was korayv to nevuah. Korayv to nevuah. That's how great a chacham he was, but of course, tragically, he perverted, he misused that chacham. So what was this chacham's ideology? Says the Ramban. The Ramban is to be found in Parashas Acharemos. And it's a very deep yesoit. One has to listen very carefully. The Ramban says, the outlook, the ideology of Yavon, and he quotes specifically Aristotle, is anything that cannot be sensed with our physical koichos does not exist. How do I know that there's a door, a white door, right there behind me? Because, Baruch Hashem, I have a sense of sight, so I can see it. Even if I turned around, I couldn't see it, but I can touch it. I can sense it physically. We have our five senses. That's how I know there's a black chair here, and that's how I know it's warm in this room, and that's how I know there's a door behind me. I have physical senses. That's how I'm able to perceive the world around me. Yavon say that anything that cannot be perceived with the physical senses does not exist. Does not exist. Simply doesn't exist. Yavon's ideology is all about the physical guf. What are the capabilities and the koichos of the physical guf? You may well know, once every 4 years, international sports competition called the Olympics. Who created the Olympics? the Greeks. The Olympics, it's not just a competition. The Olympics, the reason why they created the Olympics was, it's a celebration of the goof, of the koichos of the goof. So much so, that in their perverted way, the original Olympics, when it all began back in the day, the participants actually participated in all the races, they were not wearing clothes. It's all about the physical goof. What can the physical goof do? Therefore, Yavon have no sense of ruchnis or of kedusha. Why not? Because ruchnis is not something that you can touch or smell or feel. You can't see kedusha. You can't touch it. Anything that is beyond the physical, beyond the five senses of Yavon, as far as they're concerned, do not exist. All we have is the teva, the rules of nature, the physical koiches. Anything beyond nature, anything spiritual kodesh, as far as Yavon are concerned, simply doesn't exist. In fact, how do you spell the word Yavon? Yud, Vav, Nun. Three very similar letters. Yud, Vav, Nun. All straight lines. That's what Yavon is all about. There's the straight boundaries of teva, of physicality. That's where it begins, that's where it ends, and anything beyond that simply doesn't exist. If that's the case, it's obvious to us, which nation represents the biggest religious threat? Which nation are diametrically opposed, theologically, religiously? Their whole outlook is the opposite of Yavon, and of course, that's Klal Yisrael. We're a nation where physicality is not at the center. To the contrary, we don't celebrate the goof. By us, ruchnis is the center. But that can't be sensed. That can't be perceived. As far as Yavon are concerned, it doesn't exist. So how do Klal Yisrael exist? Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, our founding fathers, as it were, we know, Chazal HaKadoshim tell us, couldn't physically have children. So according to the Yud, Vav, Nun outlook of the world, they can't have children, which means that none of us sitting here in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh this morning can exist. So we are all supernatural. We all transcend Teva. We're all beyond the Yud, Vav, Nun. So we pose the greatest threat to Yavon. We clash with their whole ideology. If their whole ideology is the goof, the physical teva, and our ideology is not just different, but it's in fact the exact opposite, with the nation of ruchnis, miraculous existence, then we're totally diametrically opposed to Yavon. Now listen very carefully. You all know this Yesod, but we have to understand the oimek of it. This is not, chas v'shalom, a number game. If I were to ask you, I'm sure you all know the Yesod Gadol of the Maharal. Which number is it that represents physicality and teva? And which number represents beyond? 7 and 8. 7 and 8. 7 represents physicality. We live in a world that was created in 7 days. We have a 7-day week. Is anybody here, besides for myself, who played the piano? Okay, so we have a whole orchestra here. Somebody who doesn't play the piano would open up the piano lid and what would you see? 40 different keys. But somebody who plays the piano doesn't see that. What do they see? A series of octaves. How many notes in each one? 7. What is the 8th note? There is no such thing as the 8th note. The 8th note is just the first note in the next octave. Because in our physical world, we live in a world of 7. 7 days, 7 notes. Light, the rainbow, is the light diffracted into seven colors. That is the physical world that we live in, governed by the number seven. Eight is always beyond. It's beyond seven. Beyond seven. Teva is seven. Miracle is eight. Yovam are the nation of seven. Klal Yisrael are the nation of eight. We are the nation that preaches beyond Teva, to break those boundaries but not be limited to the Yud, Vav, Nun. And so Yovam come to attack. What do they attack? They attack those greatest Yesodos that we have of miraculous existence. First and foremost, Lashkicham Torah Secha. Torah is the most ruchni thing we have. As the Pasuk writes in Parshas Kisiso, the Beluchos, what are they? Maisei Elokim. An act of God. There's nothing physical about the Sefer Torah. Which parak in Tehillim is dedicated in its entirety just talking about Torah? It's the longest parak. Kuf Yud Tes, 176 psukim. Aleph Beis Gimel. How many psukim for each letter? Eight. Because that's what the Torah is. Me'al HaTeva. When were we makabel the Torah? We left Mitzrayim. We counted 7 weeks. And then after that, we could have the Torah. Torah can't be within the seven. It has to be outside of the seven. You count 49 days, 7 weeks of the Omer, and the Torah is beyond. They came to attack the mitzvah of Mila, which is performed on day 8. 8 clashes with Yovam. They came to attack Shabbos. Shabbos is the one day of the week where what? Where we're not involved in any type of gashmias, only in ruchnias. That's a clash. Shabbos is me'ein oilam habo. That's something that can't be perceived or understood. So Yovam come to clash with that. When we are victorious over Yovam, how are we victorious? It's through the Chashmoy Noyim. What are the root letters of Chashmoy Noyim? Shmoyne, with the nace of the Shemen, found by the Kohen Gadol, who wears Shmoyne Begadim. And the oil lights for Shmoyne Yomim. As mentioned, this is not a number game, Chas v'Shalom. These are Dvorim Amukim B'Yosef. This is the secret of the Chanukah Chag. It's the clash of Yovam and Klal Yisrael. The clash of 7 versus 8. Physicality, spirituality. Gashmias versus Ruchnias. And when we have the mitzvah of Chanukah now, listen carefully, and suddenly we open our eyes and we see it everywhere we look. What does the Gemara tell us? Me'ika habin. Where must you light the menorah? Outside of the house. That's the same yesod. We have a house, 4 walls, the physical building. That's where we're surrounded by. What does Chazal tell us? Take the menorah, break those boundaries. Take it out of the house. Don't be governed by the physical existence. Take it outside of the home. There's only one chag in the entire calendar, only one Yom Tov, which begins in 1 month and spills over into a second, and that is Chanukah. Not Pesach, not Shavuot, not Sukkot. Why? Because that is the very essence of Chanukah. Chanukah cannot be bound physically. We have the months of the year. No, it breaks those barriers beyond the Yud, Vav, Nun. You take the menorah outside of the home. The Chanukah Yom Tov spills over outside of Kislev. Does anybody know which mazel? Every month has a mazel. Does anybody know what the mazel is of Chodesh Kislev? It's a bow and arrow. What's the difference between a bow and arrow and a sword? A sword is a very dangerous implement. But what is the sphere of influence? How far can a sword attack? And the answer is, not very far, as long as the sword is. If I have a sword 1 meter long, and you're standing 1 meter and 10 centimeters away, you're safe.
What is the bow and arrow?
The bow helps me shoot the arrow farther than I can reach physically. It breaks those barriers. That's the muzzle of Chodesh Kislev. The muzzle of Chodesh Kislev, which is celebrating the 8, is telling us, push beyond. Break those barriers of Teva. Yovon don't believe in that. That's why they're the nation of 7. But we are the nation of 8. We take the menorah outside of the home. Hanukkah spills over outside of Kislev. It's the muzzle of the bow and arrow where I can reach outside of my physical koichos. Let's discuss for a moment, and then we'll bring this all together in Mitzvah Hashem. Let's discuss for a moment the concept of a nes. Chazal tell us, it's a medrash, Avraham Avinu was oimed ba'asara nisyonos. Says the medrash, in the zechus of the 10 nisyonos that Avraham Avinu was oimed in, his descendants, meaning us, Klal Yisrael, but specifically those in Mitzrayim, was zoicha to 10 nisim. Which 10 nisim? The Eser Makos. Again, the 10 nisyonos that Avraham Avinu was oimed in that zechus, Klal Yisrael was zoicha to 10 nisim. Now, besides for the common denominator of both being 10, but do we understand that? Where is the middle keneged middle? He was oimed for 10 nisyonos, so we get 10 nisim. But there must be a connection, because what's the root of the word nisyon? Nes. Why is a nisyon a nes? Says the Maharal, and this is the story that I wanted to share with you today. Says the Maharal in Ovis, Perek Hay. An Nisayon is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires us to break our natural barriers and our own comfort zone. We all have our comfort zone. What's easy for us? What's hard for us? You only have to think about how many times this morning when our alarm went off did we press the snooze button. I won't tell you how many times I pressed it. We have our comfort zone. Jump out of bed, his gaber kari. It's not easy for us. What's a nisayon? A nisayon is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, break those barriers and reach beyond your comfort zone, beyond your natural physical koichos. It's not natural to put your son on the mizbeach and to be willing to shechtim. That's not within anybody's comfort zone, certainly not Avraham Avinu, who is the Amud HaChesed. It's not natural to be willing to throw yourself into the Kivshon Shel Eish. It's not natural to leave home, Lech Lecho Me'aretz Lecho, etc. That's not natural. So a Nisayon, the root of the word Nisayon is in fact Nes. What is Nes? Nes is beyond Teva. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking you to do. Go beyond your Teva. As the Medrash, therefore, now we understand it, it's so obvious. In the Zechus of the fact that Avraham Avinu on 10 occasions went beyond his Teva, so what's the Midah Keneged Midah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes beyond Teva. What is that called? Nes. Obvious. Most obvious thing in the world. When a person lives his Yiddishkeit, I'm prepared to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu if it's easy. So you're living a life of 7. You're not prepared to be oimed b'nisayon, to push the boundaries, to take that bow and shoot the arrow beyond, to take the menorah beyond, to take Chodesh Kislev beyond. Shmoina. No, it's all very easy. Well, then you can't be zeichet to nisim. You can't be zeichet to nisim. Because the nes and nisayon is one. When a person is willing and able to be moisa nefesh, to put in his koichos beyond his natural comfort zone, then he can be zeichet to nisim. And in fact, it's a mafurish gemara. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Chof Amud Aleph says that one of the Amoraim asked another, a Papa said to Abaya, why is it that in the earlier generation they used to be zeichet to miracles, and we're not in our day and age, in our times, we're not so zeichet to miracles? Why is that the case? And he answered back, because in the early generations they were moiser nefesh akedushas Hashem. So how did he answer the question? The question was, why were they zeichet to miracles? What was the answer? Because they were moiser nefesh. But now do we understand? It's not just a prize, a reward. It's middel keneged middel. If a person is moiser nefesh, what does that mean to be moiser nefesh? It means to get up and to exert koiches beyond my natural comfort zone. You go beyond your teva. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Midah keneged midah, I'll treat you beyond teva." What is that? And this couldn't be simple. Maybe in our generation, the best example, one of the best examples of somebody who was Moisen Nefesh Kipshut, I was there to see him on hundreds of occasions, was the Mira Rosh Hashiva of Moshe Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Mekadosh Livracha. Rav Shreiman, the God Lavei, once said about Rav Moshe Tzvi, he said, nowadays the phrase Mesiras Nefesh is thrown about very easily. But he said, normally, do you know what it really means with serious nefesh? Really, what we really mean is just basically mesiras haguf. But Rav Moshe Tzvi didn't have a goof. He was meister nefesh. He was meister nefesh. On one occasion, the Mir Yeshiva was in a very difficult financial situation. I think I told you this once. The Rosh Yeshiva traveled to America, the mesiras nefesh. And he has a meeting with a very wealthy individual. And he says to him, I need you to sign a check for $1 million. He obviously felt that he had the wherewithal to do so. And his gevir looks at the Rosh Hashiva and says, $1 million? I can't. $1 million, I can't. And the Rosh Hashiva looked him in the eyes and said, my dear friend, I also can't, but I do anyway. How do you answer that? There is no answer. So he took out his checkbook and he signed a check for $1 million. And he all of a sudden discovered he was able to be Moiser Nefesh, and in fact he could. So let's come back now to the Bach. This is where we began. The Bach said, why did this war break out? The Bach didn't say it was political, diplomatic, social, economic. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? Two words. Hitrashlu ba'avoido. Do you know what hitrashlu ba'avoido means? We said the clue was because at the end of the Bach, how they chayzeh b'tshuva, they were moiser nefesh. Moiser nefesh means, as we've just said, to push beyond your natural comfort zone. So what does hitrashlu ba'avoido mean? The opposite. Doesn't say they weren't keeping Torah or mitzvahs, but as long as it was easy. As long as it was easy. All within the Yud Vav Nun. Within my physical limited places. I remember as a child going to hear the great Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Yudazev Segal Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, and he gave a pre Yomim Neroim Shmuz, and he coined the phrase, and he said, some of us live armchair Yiddishkeit. Armchair Yiddishkeit. We relax, put our feet up, and we keep Shabbos, and we shake lulav, and we daven, and we say brachas, as long as it's comfortable. Armchair Yiddishkeit is to be misrashel ba'avoido. You're behaving like Yavon. You're only within the seven. You're not shooting that bow, an arrow. You're not taking the menorah outside of the home. And if you behave like Yavon, so who comes to attack? Yavon. Because Yavon are the nation that preach physicality. Don't push beyond. We're the nation of seven. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be the nation of eight, of Torah. But if you're not, well, you're acting in the same way as Yavam. So midah keneged midah, Yavam comes to attack. Said the Bach, when, however, they were chayzeh b'tshuva, and what were his words? Limsor nafsham. Ah, that's the opposite of Yisrashku b'avodah. That's getting off the armchair and putting in koichos above and beyond. So what did he say? Nas Elohem Nes. Perfect. That's the Gemara. Didn't the Gemara say that if you're Moisa Nefesh, you're Zechus and Nisan? That's what it said. If you're Moisa Nefesh, the earlier generations were Zechus and Nisan. Why? Because they were Moisa Nefesh. So now we have the whole story complete. We understand Yobon's ideology. We understand Klal Yisrael's ideology. But when we are not living that ideology, when we're not living the Ruchnius, meaning it's all armchair Yiddishkeit, Yud, Vav, Nun, all within our physical, natural comfort zone. So Yobon comes to attack. How are we Chayza B'tshuva? Chayza B'tshuva. Limser Nafshon. Even if it's hard to push beyond, and what happens then? Listen, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "You're pushing beyond your teva. I will push beyond teva," and that's called miracles. Listen. So this is such an important Yisrael. This is what we're celebrating. This is not the Yom Tov of donuts. This is the Yom Tov of Nisim. We're all going to daven every day and say Al HaNisim. It's the Yom Tov of Nisim, but we have to understand the underlying hashkafa of Nisim. The underlying hashkafa of Nisim is if the hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to those who do not live armchair Yiddishkeit. To those who are moisa nefesh, they are zeichet to Nisim. That was the Hanukkah story. And therefore we don't really interest, we don't care what it says in the newspapers and how the Yavan Machlekes and Milchama broke out, because we know the truth. It broke out because we behave like Yavan. Hisrashlu ba'avoidah. How did it all come to a magnificent end? When we were moisa nefesh, we pushed beyond the physical barriers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed beyond the physical barriers, and that is the Nes of Hanukkah. Shabbos morning, a year or two ago in our shul, after davening, someone comes up to me and says, I need to discuss something with you very, very urgent. So, must it be now? It's after davening, I'm about to go home. Yeah, it has to be now. Okay. He says to me, I need a Yeshua. I need a Yeshua. I need a Yeshua. I'm married, I have a family, I have children, I work hard, morning and afternoon, and I cannot make it in Parnassah. I can't make it in Parnassah. I work hard, honest living. It's hard for me to close the month. Not only that, he tells me. My parents have just come from abroad, from South Africa. Elderly parents. My father can't work. And he has no Parnassah. And I'm the only son. So I feel an achrayus. I've got to help him as well. I need Yeshua. I can't even feed my own family. I've got to feed my parents as well. What should I do? I said to him, my dear friend, I'm not a business consultant. I don't give business advice. But I can tell you a Gemara. And I told him this Gemara that we quoted. The Gemara says in Brachas, why were the earlier generations Zeichet and Nisim? Because they were Moisa Nefesh. That's the Gemara tells us. That's the equation. So I said to him, I'm sure there must be areas of Avodas Hashem that you know that you're slackening, you're weakening, and they require a mysterious nefesh. Think carefully this afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, of something that you could be makabel on yourself that will require mysterious nefesh. That will require mysterious nefesh. Don't be makabel on yourself. I won't speak Lashon Hara between 3 and 4 in the morning. That doesn't require mysterious nefesh. Take something that you know you're struggling in, that you know you are able to do, you're capable, but you're not pushing beyond. Because if you be moisa nefesh, in Mitzvah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you an ace. I said, do me one favor, let me know when it arrives. This was Shabbos morning. He calls me on Monday afternoon, 2 days later. He says, you won't believe what happened. I got home and I thought, yes, I've got to be moist and nefesh. And he said, listen, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I've always struggled when it comes to davening in shul. He said, I'm the last one in and first one out. I always come late, I always leave early, it's difficult for me. And I decided, this is where I'm going to be moist and nefesh. That day, Shabbos Mincha, I came on time to davening, first time in 20 years. And I left after the end of davening. It was not easy for me. It was hard. It was a mysterious nefesh. I did the same Motzei Shabbos Maariv. Shachris. In the morning, Sunday, Mincha, Maariv. A whole day now of tefillahs. I've been there from the beginning to the end. The mysterious nefesh. It's not been easy. Monday morning, I get a phone call from my father, he says. And my father says, you won't believe this. I just got a call from the government offices, the Bituach Le'umi. They said, we've checked your records and you're entitled to a monthly payment of 7,000 shekel. He says, I have no idea why I should be eligible for this, but that's what they told me. Not only that, they said, we apologize profusely because we really should have given you a long time ago, so we didn't give you a back payment for the last 6 months, 7,000 shekel for the last half a year. So all of a sudden he has a windfall of 50,000 shekel. The father, so he told his son about it, he said, I don't need 50,000 shekel, so you can have some of it and I can have some of it. So he's able to provide for his family, and his father's parnassah has been sorting out. It took 2 days. But that's the secret of Hanukkah. When we're moiser nefesh, it's true. We don't do deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's sign a document. If not, I get my money back. No, Chas V'Shalom. But this is the equation. This is the equation. I remember somebody called me late, 10 o'clock one evening. He comes to my house, similar story. Parnos is so hard for me. I have a family I can't provide. I told him the same. I'm not a business advisor, but I can tell you a Gemara. And I told him the Gemara in Brachos, be makabel something on yourself that requires a serious nefesh. Let me know when you have a Yeshua. It didn't take 2 days. He called me the next afternoon. He said, I got home and I decided I don't learn enough. I learned, but not enough. So I was makabel on myself to learn an extra half an hour every evening. I haven't even started it, but I was makabel it. The next morning, the boss of my company called me out of the blue, we're putting up your wages. This is Maisim B'chol Yoyim. Maisim B'chol Yoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I treat you the way you treat me. If you want to live a life of armchair Yiddishkeit, not the Klal Yisrael were not being Oyved Hashem, but they were Hisrashnu Ba'avoido, when it's easy, feet up on the couch. Okay, well then you live a life of teva, so then Yavam comes to attack. But when you're moisa nefesh, you go beyond from 7 to 8, the bow and the arrow, the menorah outside of the house. And that's all a completely different realm. You push beyond your teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol pushes beyond his teva, and you can be zeichet in this. Let me just finish with a mind-blowing story about my Heiliger Zeda, Rav Amshal Yisrael, my Elter Zeda, the Heiliger Chasam Sefer. This story took place about 200 years ago or so in Pressburg. A guy became a Ger Tzedek, converted. As we know, in order to be misgayer, it's a three-stage process. A smila, a tvila, a makabel, oil teir or mitzvahs. And that's what he did. For some strange reason, after they formed the bris mila, they could not stop the bleeding. He was bleeding to death. And they realized it's a matter of hours, he's going to die. And all of a sudden they realized that not only is it pikuach nefesh for this geir, it's probably pikuach nefesh for the whole Klal Yisrael. If the goyim here that some guy joins Klal Yisrael, they perform some medical procedure, and a day later he's dead, they're going to wage war on Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael are in Sakon. So they went to the Chacham Sofer. Rabban Shal Yisrael, what should we do? Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael Chayra in deep danger, in big Sakon. So the Chacham Sofer says, yes, they are. It's a very serious situation and it needs serious action. Listen carefully. I'm going to give you instructions. Do not deviate from these instructions in any which way. He says, what you're to do is as follows. You have to get hold of this ger, the moel, and the local rov of that community. The three of you should be in touch with a wagon driver, horse and cart. You pay him good money up in advance. You explain to him the situation, and you tell him, therefore, you're going to request something very strange, but this is what has to be done. The three of you are going to get into that carriage. He's going to drive you out of town to the big bridge that leads you out of the city. This bridge overlooks a raging river. When you get to that bridge, you'll arrange in advance. The driver will get out of the horse and cart. You've paid him in advance. The three of you in the carriage, he's going to push the entire carriage over the bridge wall into the river, and the three of you must die. Three of you must die. That way, it won't be suspicious. Nobody will say, what happened? How come this guy died? They'll say it was a freak accident. I mean, after all, it happened together with the local Rav and the Miles, so obviously there's nothing anti-Semitic about it. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do? Yes, it's a Moshe Nefesh for Klal Yisrael because it's Pikuach Nefesh. Don't tell anybody, he says, don't tell not your wife, not your family, but you realize this is what you have to do. No choice. Klal Yisrael are in danger. Chacham Sofer has paskened. Chacham Sofer has paskened. So, as instructed, they make contact with a wagon driver. They explain to him the story, why this needs to be done. You've got to keep this a secret. They pay him a good wage in advance, and they leave their homes now for the final time. There's no emotional goodbye to their wives, to their children. They were told by the Chacham Sofer not to tell anybody. And off they go. They're making their way now to the bridge. It's the last minutes here by Olam Hazeh. And they're sitting there, being chayz a bit shuva, and davening, and saying vidui, and tlachlonu, being chayz a bit shuva, the last minutes in this world. They finally get to the bridge, and as arranged in advance, the wagon driver indeed gets out of the carriage, wishes them goodbye, and he's just about to push this wagon into the river, when all of a sudden, some old man appears, long white beard, and he says, what's happening here? What's going on over here? He says, you really must know, we have somebody in the carriage, converted, the Rishmila, bleeding, nothing to do about it. She said, well, actually, you're in luck. And he takes out of his pocket a small bottle with a bit of ointment. He said, you use this, apply this to the area, you'll have a refreshment. Okay, try. The bleeding stopped and he was zeicher to refuah shleima. Well, then there's no need anymore for them to be moseh nefesh. They turn around, they make their way back to Preshburg, first address the house of the Chacham Sofer. They make their way in and tell the Chacham Sofer, you won't believe what happened. What happened? We arranged it, the horse, the carriage, the driver, as arranged, we paid, we got to the bridge, we were just about to be thrown into the river, and all of a sudden some man existed, who just turned up, and he gave us this medicine, he was zecher to refuah shleima, unbelievable. So the Chacham Sofer, yes, 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 I knew, that was Eliyahu Hanavi Malach Abris. I knew he was going to turn up. That's his achrayis. His achrayis is to make sure that nobody chas v'shalom dies as a result of the mina. I knew that was happening. You think, kind of, sad bo'ilam, you have to throw yourself into rivers, also to commit suicide. even to save Klal Yisrael. I knew when your love is going to come.
So they asked him,
so what was this whole spiel for? So the money and the wagon and the driver, if you knew Eliyahu HaNavi was going to come, so why do you have to go through this whole story? Says the Chasam Sofer, you think you can just be Zoicha to Eliyahu HaNavi Stam? To be Zoicha to the Nase of Eliyahu HaNavi, you have to be Moiser Nefesh. So I designed this story where you were willing indeed to be Moiser Nefesh, and then indeed you were Zoicha to the Nase of Eliyahu HaNavi. And you are not. We don't close deals, as we mentioned, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll do this. Let's see what we get back in return. But we have learned the equation. We've seen that was the holy Yisrael of Hanukkah. And the Gemara has taught us. We all need Yeshuas. Every single person sitting in this room needs a Yeshua. Every person needs a Yeshua. Some need a Yeshua to be Zeicha to Parnasa, and some need a Yeshua to be Zeicha to health, and Nachas from their children, and Shalom Bayis, and Ruchnias, and Gashmias, and you all need a Yeshua. You all need a Yeshua, Be'ezat Hashem Yisbarach, to be able to find the Zivug, Hagud, the Korei, the Itzeh of Bismarck. But we've learned from the Gemara how that can be done. We've learned, Chazal have taught us, the Nes Chanukah teaches us that how's that done? Not to live armchair Yiddishkeit. That is the story. That is the secret. And if we would stop today, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, as mentioned, we have to prepare for Chanukah, not just buy our donuts. We have to look and think to ourselves, what do we want to emerge from Chanukah with this year? So I would suggest that if we think to ourselves, is there some area of Avodas Hashem where, if I'm being very honest with myself, I know it's Rosh Chuba Avoyla. I'm weakening. I'm not doing it. I'm not Chasashom Chalol Shabbos. I'm not davening. I'm not Sanua. I'm trying my best. But am I really trying my best? Or as long as it's easy, armchair Yiddishkeit. Because if we perhaps can try today, be makabel something on ourselves. I've done this 2 days ago. I was makabel something on myself. Mitz Hashem for this year's Hanukkah. That will be my Kabbalah. Something that's going to be hard for me. It's going to require a mysterious nefesh. But if we can do that, the Ezes Hashem Yisbarach, then this Chanukah will be very meaningful for us. It indeed won't just be a Yom Tov of playing dreidel and Chanukah parties. It will be a Yom Tov of Kiyumas Elokim, where we show up Kadosh Baruch Hu that Yiddishkeit is so important to me. Avodas Hashem is so important to me that I'm able and willing to push the boundaries. And not live a life of 7, but rather a life of 8, beyond 7. And I'm going to be Moiser Nefesh, I'm going to be Makabel telling on myself it's going to be difficult for me. And a Mitz Hashem will be Zoicha to Yeshuas. Just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu did Nisim, a Yomim Ahim, so too a Mitz Hashem, Bazman Hazeh.